Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. You can learn more about KPP's balanced income program using KPP's time-tested ability to identify undervalued assets. They created a strategy designed to accommodate investors who have a lower risk tolerance but still desire some exposure to the potential growth of the stock market. Find out more about it when you're ready on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with here. This is September 23rd. September 23rd already. I tell you, weeks just go by. September 23rd, 2016. And, of course, I'm here to help you reach the retirement that you want, whatever that is. I know it's financially, you want to be financially independent, but we're going to try to make that goal in retirement, whenever and whatever that is. You can achieve the retirement goals you want, but you have to work at it. You got to be persistent. You got to be disciplined. It takes effort. It takes effort. And most people don't want to put the effort. They just want it to happen. Well, I wish it was that simple. It just is not. You got to do it. I can help you. I want to help you. And it's doable. It's really doable. And as you know, it's Friday. So every Friday, I always skim the premium newsletter, premium weekly newsletter I send out every Friday to all the clients, anybody else who wants to take it and buy it. It's like $10 a month. Comes out every Friday. And I always start out with the current market conditions, and I mentioned this week there wasn't much in economic news, housing numbers, and the leading economic indicator numbers. Housing numbers have been looking pretty good. And these, though, were weaker than last month, but they weren't that weak, and some of the reason might be because we don't have a lot of inventory and existing housing sales especially. So when they weren't that weak, they were just a bit weaker than expected and a bit weaker than the month before. This is for August we're talking about. The one report that made me a little bit, I don't know, I'm not nervous about it, just a little bit concerning is the LEI, Leading Economic Indicator Report. It fell to negative territory in August to -0.2%. Now, is that significant? Well, I don't know. One month doesn't make a trend. The month before, July, was up 0.5%. So is that significant? We're going to have to, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll see, won't we? On the stock ideas section, and of course that's the most popular newsletter feature we have, we always give you a couple of stock ideas. This week we gave you several ETFs. And especially for beginners. I've been a lot of questions from beginners. How should I get started? Well, we list some exchange-traded funds for beginners. Portfolio management section, I discuss the complexity of managing an investment portfolio and the risk involved. And one of the biggest aspects of successful managing risk is to diversify your portfolio. It's not rocket science. It's just effort, concentration. And you don't have to concentrate on every day. Just got to pay attention. In the Consumer Watch section, talking about safety. All those kids going back to school have a couple of schools near where I live. And, one of the things that, the kids don't really look where they're going. They're excited. You got to be real careful. There's a reason why the speed limit is really slow around schools. And there's some tips on being safe around these schools. Now, I publish this newsletter every Friday. And we try to include content that makes a difference in your money management. Now, if you'd like to try it for a month, it's $9.99. And, of course, if you don't like it, I'll refund you completely. If you don't like it. So what money questions have you been saving? If you call now between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, we can talk directly, or you can call whenever it's handy. 888-99-CHARTERS are any time number. We'll try to answer your question on the next Invest Talk.
Hi, my name is David, and I have three investment accounts, one an individual that I use for short-term trading, two my 401k that I actively contribute, and three is a rollover IRA from a previous company. My question is, what recommended percentage do you believe that I should keep in cash in my rollover IRA, and what percentage to keep in active investments? And I will listen to your response on the podcast. Thank you.
If you have 5 to 10 years left before you retire, before you need any of this money, you don't keep anything in cash in your 401k. You keep investing. Now, having said that, you should stay mostly always invested. You can be sharper. You can be sharper in that. In other words, I kind of like having some cash right now myself, but I'm a professional money manager. You as an individual, you can't time the market. It's impossible. So you might as well just stay in. Stay in. You can adjust your portfolio. Yes, adjust it. Make changes to it. Tweak it depending on your risk tolerance and how much you want risk you want to take, versus how much you should be taking or how much you are taking. You don't have to be that involved in your 401k. You can just continually be invested. Trying to get out just in cash and then get back in when you think the market's good. It's very, very difficult. Not only because it's very difficult to know when to get out, when to get out in, but most people mentally can't handle the when to get out, when to get in part. In other words, they get out when they start to see the accounts falling. That's not when you get out or start to produce cash. You produce cash when it's run up. Then you produce cash. And most people can't get back in when the market has fallen sharply. They don't know where it's going to stop. They don't know when to get back in. They wait till it turns around and comes back up. And usually it comes back up. And by the time you got out and the time you got back in, you bought, you sold high, you sold probably middle, not high, and bought probably right back where in the middle, because no one knows where the bottom's and everybody wants to make sure the bottom is in, or make sure that I buy it when it started to come off the top. It's impossible. So stay in the market. For a beginner, not knowing how to, you're not having a lot of knowledge, you just stay with the market. As long as you have enough time to make up any big downstrokes. If you have time, 5-10 years, then don't worry about it. Let's go to David in San Jose. How you doing, David?
Hey, Steve, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question. What the Fed, they came out today with this restriction on commodities. I'm just wondering what that means, and more specifically, what does it mean to gold?
They came out with a restriction on commodities. I did not see anything like that.
It was in regard to brokerages or banks holding commodities.
Huh. It must.
Yeah, the place of limitation.
Well, I know that there's more and more restrictions on banks on the types of things they could do, which is why I have not recommended big banks for quite some time, because I know it's going to squeeze their profits. But I didn't see anything specific out today. Is that, you saw something specific out today about that?
Yeah. It was all over Bloomberg this morning, where it was breaking news. The Fed they came up with a reserve or limitation on commodities for banks in regards to how much they can hold.
Well,
and I heard a little bit about it, but I wasn't sure how that affected gold, and naturally commodities went down today, so.
Well, I didn't see it, so I must, I don't know, I do a lot of reading, and I didn't see that, so I really can't make any comment on, other than I know that the laws are changing, and they are restricting banks from doing all kinds of things or risky things they used to do routinely. And I knew that they were going to have some restrictions on commodities at some point, or already did have it, and I just wasn't really paying attention. I don't think you and me need to worry about it too much, because the big banks and all those people, they trade those commodities. They don't hold on to them. They're doing trading And that's how they get in trouble. They make a lot of money or they lose a lot of money over their trading. And that's one of the reasons why they're getting restricted on various things. But again, that's why I also said, I'm not keen on the big banks as owning their shares, because their profits are going to be reduced, their ability to make profits. So while I don't think you should worry about you as an investor, what the banks are going to do or not be able to do, I don't think that's that important. Commodities is more based on economics. Yes, it's tempting to reach for the highest yields and fixed income investments, but there is a price to be paid for that decision. Don't get talked into taking too much risk. And that's one of our talking points today. I've got a couple of check updates up there in Northern California, San Ramon on the 27th, and then San Jose on the 28th. That's next week. To schedule your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. 888-99-CHART. Follow the prompts. 888-99-CHART. I'm going to go talk to Art. How you doing, Art? Menlo Park. How's it going?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you about, I was thinking about opening up a Roth IRA and using it as a emergency fund if I need to get to it. Because I've got another IRA already, a regular IRA.
Okay.
And I just wondered if it would make any sense to put money into a Roth IRA and just having the money in there, so then if I needed emergency money, then I could pull it out.
Well, you can, in a Roth IRA, you can pull out your contributions into the Roth IRA anytime you want, without penalty, but you can't pull out the growth without a penalty.
Right. I would be pulling out the initial investment.
Yeah. So long as you keep yourself to that, you can use it that way. I mean, it's not what it's designed to be used, but you can. There's nothing wrong with that because, you know, there's no penalty in there, and you know, there's no tax consequences. So you can do that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the concept. Let's put it that way.
Another question about that. You have to keep it in there for 5 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are some limitations and rules that you have to pay attention to, and I'm not an expert on that. But yes, there are limitations and rules. So just make sure you're aware of them before you open one up. Art, appreciate the call. Good question. Thank you. Don't get talked into too much risk. That's one of our talking points today. Okay, and I also want to talk about what do you do when the insurance company increases your life insurance and long-term care insurance as you get older. This is more and more of becoming a problem. Costs of long-term care and life insurance policies you already have, and what do you do when they start increasing the premiums? Okay, taxpayers. Do you know a large percent of the population pays no income tax? None? We'll talk about tax, income tax, the types of taxes. And we didn't get to it yesterday, but I want to talk about the national debt, which is closing in on $20 trillion with a T. What does that look like, $20 trillion? Is that with a stack of $100 bills, how high would that go? What does it look like? And that's what we're going to talk about. Those are the things that's on my mind and that I want to share with you. Do you have anything you want to talk about and share with me? Willing to talk about it. Did you see the upgrades on Walmart today? You know, there were some upgrades on Walmart, which is surprising because, you know, it's been kind of in the dumps and people don't like it. And I have to admit, we do own that in our managed accounts. But I just thought it was interesting that what they said about it. Anyways, why not sign up for our free Invest Talk Insiders program? There are many informative info sheets on all kinds of financial topics, like economic indicators. It looks at how to interpret economic reports from the various government and non-government agencies. Sign up now. If you'd like to, at investtalk.com, just click on the Invest Talk tab.
Hey, Justin and Steve, I want to let you guys know I'm a big fan of the show. I'm a new investor, and I have two questions for you. I was wondering what you think of the fundamentals of the stock Nike. NKE is the symbol. I don't have any of it yet, but I've been following it for a while, and it's gone up, and I was wondering what you guys thought about it. And my second question is, I've heard you speak of support, and I was wondering what that actually means and what that has to do with. Thanks.
Okay, Nike, NKE is a symbol, markets high-quality athletic footwear. I'm sure you know all about it. Nike's been around for a long time. It's a high-quality big blue-chip stock, $92 billion. And this is a stock you buy when it looks cheap and just hold it. The problem is it rarely looks cheap. I mean, the last five-year PE range for Nike is 17 to 34. And it only grows, you know, in the mid-digits, 5, 6%. It's not like a huge growing company. It's so big, it can't. But it has been so steady. Great return on equity, very little debt. I mean, it's a well-run company, and it's been that way forever. And what's interesting, in July, when it dipped down to about $52, $53, an insider bought stocks. And so I thought that was interesting. That's the only insider buying in the last year or two. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, you had an insider buying back in, what, I think it was like August of 2014. So, and that's when it was down around the $40 range. So you can see the insiders buy when it's cheap. It's now 55. It went up to 60, came back down to 55. It's trading sideways. And it looks like good support right around $55. It does. I like it. I like Nike a lot. I'm going to try to buy more of it if I can. I have some in, you know, that I bought some years and years and years and years and years and years ago, and just sat on it. So I like the stock a lot. Now it's just a win and where to buy it. So if you get to 20 PE, right? That's what it's selling at, forward 20 PE. It's going to make $2.76 next year. It's a $55 stock. So the 4P is like 20, okay? And low, the five-year range low is 17. So it's getting to a point where this might be a good area to pick it up. NKE, everybody. 888-99-CHART, we're talking about risk. We talk about it all the time, and I know you're bored with it, but it is something that is extremely important. And I don't want the Wall Street to fool you about risk. You know, many people buy bonds, and they tend to reduce the risk of a portfolio. They do, and that is absolutely true. Okay, but bonds can have risk associated with them, and as people try to reach for better and higher yields, the bonds paying them the more, they buy worse and worse quality bonds. And what that means is you're taking more and more and more risk. The low-risk bonds don't pay much. So I need you to be careful. And how to be careful? Well, first of all, understand how much risk you're really willing to take in a bond. If a bond pays you 5%, okay, over the next 10 years, what if it goes down 20% in value? Would you still hold on to it? Would you buy it if you knew that was going to happen? See, so, you know, there's risk. If interest rates go up, bond values go down. How much of that risk are you willing to take? Make sure you only have the highest quality bonds and fixed income, other securities. Lower expenses help greatly. So look at the low expense part. I like the latter of the bonds. Therefore, you get, you know, short-term bonds, and you have one a little longer and a little longer and a little longer, but I don't go out very far, 4 or 5 years at the most. And so they all constantly come and due. And you know what? CDs and treasuries will come back eventually. Some point down the road, I might be 5, 10 years, I don't know. But those are fixed income instruments that help smooth out your portfolio. Right now you can't make much in them, but maybe you should take a look at them if you want to reduce your risk. It's all about risk. And, you know, we do have a method to gauge your risk. And, you know, you can go to our website and take the risk questionnaire. It's very short. It won't take you very long. And it'll help gauge your risk. And we'll give you a risk score from 0 to 100. And just so you know, the market, which is a pretty high risk, the S&P 500 risk score is 80. So that if you want to take less risk in the market, you better have a score way below 80, right? If you want to take more risk in the market, it should be higher than 80. You know, if you want to take market risk, just buy the S&P 500 and you'll be taking market risk, and that score is 80. And if you answer the questions honestly, that's the trick. Answer those questions honestly. Really think about yourself, because they ask questions like, would you be comfortable with a 30% loss? Would you? We're open to your money's questions and comments. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm glad you're with me today.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. And remember, no matter where you listen in the United States, you can have your retirement portfolio reviewed by a registered investment advisor at no cost. Steve does a few of these each month on Skype or telephone. To schedule your time with Steve, just click on the Invest Talk tab. You're listening to Invest Talk for this Friday, September 23rd. On the next Invest Talk, many people don't know what options are available to maximize their benefits. How to decide when to claim Social Security benefits. That's our talking point for Monday. But if you've got a question right now, it's more than welcome at 888-99-CHART. That's how to reach us from anywhere in the USA.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Mike. How you doing, Mike, in San Jose?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was hoping, your opinion would be for VRX.
Okay, VRX is Valent Pharmaceuticals, everybody. It develops branded drugs in the areas of dermatology, neurology, eye health, and all those kind of areas. Okay, they're going to make $6.53 this year. That is 20% less than last year. And I have told you, everybody on the radio here, that the S&P 500 has been, for six quarters in a row, making less and less money. And Valiant is just one of the pharmaceuticals, just one of them. And it's going to bounce next year, though, to $7.70 a share. Now, well, you have to read some of the news that's coming out, because that's why it's been beaten up so bad. I would take a look at that news. There's a lot of things going on in the company, and that's why it's $27.72 a share, going to make $7.70, meaning that is really cheap, a 4 PE, 4. Now, I think, Mike, that a lot of the bad news is already built into the price of the stock. And if you were going to take a risk on this stock, it's still a $9 billion company. It's a pretty good size. This is probably the area you'd want to buy in the, you know, mid-20s. I think it's a pretty good risk. And I do notice that insiders are buying. They're buying stock here at this level. So, but make sure you read all the news, the bad news that it has on it, so you know that these are the problems. But I think that most of it might be behind them. I'm going to take a look at the news myself and make sure that I feel that they're fine. But it is this would going to be a very good value stock at this price. Okay, Mike?
Is there support or resistance that you might, because I bought them today.
Yeah, there's a ton of support right around $20 a share, just a ton. Then there's more support coming in about $25. So those are the two places. So if it's at $27.72, it's going to slow down or stop around $25. If it goes below that, there's a lot of support around $20. But I think we're getting really close to the support number here. It's hard. There's going to have to be another big bad news article coming out about them. Something bad's got to happen to drop it, because it's awfully inexpensive for the amount of money they make. Okay, Mike?
Okay.
Appreciate the call. That's VRX is a symbol. Valiant Pharmaceuticals does everybody remember the bad news on the stock? Has the management team learned their lesson about overpriced drugs? It's interesting because, I know that politically people have been beating up on the drug companies in the last few weeks. And when I see that happening, I kind of look around for what's some opportunities, because they really are beating up on these drug companies. But can they really do anything about it? Yeah, they can, but are they? Interesting dilemma there. 888-99-CHART. So what do you do if you're a senior citizen, you're 55 years old, you have life insurance, and you have long-term care insurance? What are you going to do if they start increasing the premiums? Because you are going to get closer and closer to fixed income, and premiums on these things, like for instance, you could see 100% increase in the next few years if you're 55 or older in your long-term care insurance. Now, years and years ago, they used to be level pay, meaning they never increased your premiums. Years and years and years ago. But about 10 or 15 years ago, they started to build into these policies ability to increase premium based on just increase the premium. So what's going to happen, and what I see happening when I talk to a lot of people, they start complaining about the cost of these things they've had for years, and all of a sudden the premiums are jumping up. And the insurance company is not stupid. They know when they jump up the prices that they may lose business. But they were stupid enough years ago not to charge enough. They didn't charge enough to pay the losses that they're starting to have now roll in with baby boomers getting older, and they're starting to have to pay claims. And so all of a sudden, they need more premiums. And that's what's happened. So what do you do? I'm not keen on long-term care insurance. I'm not. I never have been. I used to work for the insurance industry. And the reason why I'm not is because I know that it's not used as much as people think it was used, or it doesn't help them as much as they think it will help them. And I just don't have a real strong conviction to own it. I'm not saying never, but I wouldn't. I am not. I am self-insuring myself for long-term care. I'm saving up enough money to make sure I can handle that. So I'm not too keen. Life insurance? I don't understand why an older person even has life insurance. Why do you need it? Why do you need life insurance? What for? Because you know how I think about paying off mortgages. Your mortgage should be paid off when you retire. So if you die and leave your spouse with a mortgage, that's not a good idea. But you shouldn't have one as you get older. And you should have money saved up as you get older. So why do you need life insurance? I wouldn't have it. That's my personal opinion, by the way. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Rag and Freema. Raj and Freema.
Hi, Steve. I wanted to get your feedback on a stock called Denbury Resources, DNR.
DNR. Are you want to be a buyer of it?
I was thinking.
Okay. Let's take a look at DNR, everybody. Let's see. Come on. Danbury Resources, Inc. It is a $1.1 billion company, so it is a small cap company. And they engage in acquisition, exploration, development, and operation of oil. Okay? Oil, gas properties in the Gulf Coast region. So your question is, really should be, where do you think oil prices are going? Now, for this company, sales have been falling sharply for 2 years in a row, every quarter. Earnings are going to, in 2015, they made 37 cents a share. The year before, it was $1.04. The year before, $1.56. This year, they're going to lose a penny a share. And next year, they're going to make 12 cents a share. That's the estimates. They could be wrong, of course. It's a $2.77 stock, and it's not going to make any money this year. So you got to kind of base it on what you think it's going to do next year, 12 cents. And that means it's at about a 20-25 PE or so. No, 23 maybe. 23 PE or so. I probably would not buy it because the sales are still falling. I would want to know when that is going to turn around. And they have a lot of debt, Raj. And that debt is something that could kill them. They could bankrupt them. So how and when are they going to be repaying that debt? How much do they have to, when do they have to refinance it? How much are they paying off? Why do they have so much debt? Those are the kinds of questions you kind of have to need to know. This stock has been as low as a dollar back in March, and now it's a 277. So that had a huge move up. But the debt worries me, so I probably wouldn't consider buying it, Raj. DNR. Okay?
Okay. So currently the PE is 20?
The forward PE will be 20 if it makes 12 cents a share. It's a $2.77. It's about 22, I guess. Somewhere 23, somewhere around there. Yeah. Appreciate the call,
Raj.
What is
the current PE?
I'm sorry?
What is the current PE?
There is no PE because there's no E. It's going to lose a penny a share this year. No PE.
Okay.
Yeah. See, so that's the problem. Okay. Thanks, Raj. Appreciate it. Call it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. 888-99 Short Taxpayers. Did you know there is a large percentage of our population that pays no income tax at all? A very large percentage pays no income tax at all. None. Now, they do pay other taxes, and they pay taxes. There's two kinds of basic broad categories of taxes. One's called regressive, and one's called progressive. Regressive and progressive. Okay, so what is a regressive tax? Now, a regressive tax means it hurts. It takes a higher percentage of income from the modest income earners than it does from the higher income earners. Social Security, Medicare are both regressive taxes. Income tax is progressive, and that is a tax that takes a higher percentage of the income the more income you make. That's called the progressive tax. Now, some people like to say a regressive tax is not fair and a progressive tax is. And I'm going to take exception to that. I'm going to say you're going to have unfair taxes, both regressive and progressive. Both of them, they can be unfair. What is fair? What is the definition of fair? That's hard for me to know. Is it fair if you make $20,000 a year and pay no income tax? Is that fair? I'm not saying if it's right or wrong, but is it fair? Is it fair if you make $150,000 a year and you pay 50% income tax? Is that fair? I don't know. You know, for me, I don't know. What I can tell you is the government seems to always want more and more and more and more tax. You know, they always seem to want more. They never seem to want less. They're always coming up with a new tax for everybody. But what is fair, what isn't fair, I think that's, you know, that's really something that should be explored, should be discussed, instead of just automatically assuming regressive and progressive is one's fair, one's not. That's not true. That's not true. It depends on the tax. Anyways, let's go to Samantha in San Jose. How you doing, Samantha?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Steve. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, when is a good time to buy Amazon and Facebook? They're pretty high already. Should I wait or should I get in now?
No, I would wait. I don't think it's a good time to buy Facebook. FB, everybody, and provide social networking platforms. I just can't. It's hard for me. They're still growing very fast, so it's a high growth stock. And I have a hard time buying a stock with a 40, 50 PE. It's just hard for me to say. Now, the income is growing very fast, but I would wait, Samantha. I wouldn't wait long, But I certainly would wait for some kind of pullback. You had a decent, you know, 4, 5, 6% pullback in June into July. And now it's been running up. Wait for another pullback like that. It got close to the 50-day moving average. Actually, got close to the 200-day moving average. And right now, it's above all the moving averages. It had a bad day today. And the reason being because they kind of didn't tell the truth. I don't know if you saw that, Samantha, but Facebook didn't tell the truth about their ad times that would people would watch the ads, and they misled the advertisers. And there's going to be punishment for this stock. And so it was down 2% today. So you might get a nice pullback here because of this bad news. And if you do, then you buy it. I'd buy it on a pullback. And the same is true on Amazon. Both are really good, strong companies. Amazon I like better than Facebook. But then again, Amazon's PE is 200. I mean, it's hard. I mean, based on next year's earnings, the PE is going to go down to 80. That's still very high. So I think I'd wait for pullbacks on both those. Okay? Thanks, Samantha. I appreciate the call. When you're investing, you're taking risks. No matter what you're saying, you are taking risks. Good money management is all about managing that risk, keeping it within certain parameters in conjunction with the reward you're expecting from the risk you're taking. It's hard sometimes to figure that out. So we like to start, though, by having you take the risk test. At KPP Financial, we use an award-winning tool that you can use, too. It's free. All you do is answer the questions. It's right there on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
Remember, if you live in the San Jose or San Ramon area, you have an opportunity next week to meet with Steve for an individual retirement review. It's complimentary, no charge, no obligation. He'll be in San Ramon September 27th and then San Jose on the 28th. To schedule your hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART. That's our number. I'd love to talk to you. You know, we're going to talk about the national debt. National debt's approaching $20 trillion. You know that's a debt ceiling, right? So when the next president comes into office, one of the first things he's going to deal with is the debt ceiling. Remember how well that was in the big news just a number of years ago? Oh, debt. And then they voted to put it out to $20 trillion, and that'll take forever to get there. Well, we're there now. $20 trillion. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. What's your question? What does $20 trillion look like? Trillion. What are your tax implications of selling your home? Do you know? Let's talk about it. If you want to, give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from Ukraine calling. Listening on podcast, as always, great show. Keep up the great work. I've got a question regarding Teradata, ticker symbol TDC. And I was wondering whether you could suggest a price point to get in for a long-term hold, 5 to 10 years, and what you think the outlook is for the data storage industry, whether it's actually, in terms of economic cycle, a good time to get in. Thanks again, and take care. Bye-bye.
Well, we kind of like it, Teradata Corporation. We like that sector, computer data storage, and we own one of the competitors of Teradata. It provides enterprise data warehousing, including enterprise and analytical technologies and services. It's a $4 billion company. The sales have been falling a little bit, like in the single digits, you know, 4, 5, 6%. I don't like that part. I don't like that part. And there's the competitor we own, sales are starting to pick up now. Teradata hasn't turned around yet. So that kind of concerns me. But at the same time, it's kind of a value play. It's going to make $2.44 this year and $2.45 next year, so pretty much the same. But it's a $30 stock, meaning that it's a pretty low PE. A good, really good buy point for this would be in the low 20s, 22, 23, 24. And that means that you're looking at a 10 PE, and the 5-year average is 10 to 30. And right now it's at, you know, what, 13? It's pretty low. So I think this is a, if you know, if you really like Teradata, this might be a good place to start picking up some shares. And then on any future weakness, you'd buy more. I would, ideally, 22, 23, 24. Tons of support right in there. Got a lot of support at 25 too, so it may not go down there. You got a lot of support at 27. So there's a lot of support as it comes down. It hit support at 29 when it bounced down from 32, almost 33, down to 29, bounced up. Now it's at 30 and 72 cents. So there's a lot of support. I like this sphere. I really like this sphere. Not too much debt. You know, great return on equity, 23%. Remember, I like it in, 15, 16, 17% or higher, and this is 23. The competitor we own is only at 12, so Teradata has a better numbers there. Kind of like it. Teradata, TDC. TDC. National debt is going to reach $20 trillion. $20 trillion. What does that look like? Okay, try to give you some perspective on how much money that is. This is a debt. We are going to owe 20. We're getting very close. By the time the next president comes aboard, we are going to have we're going to hit $20 trillion. Okay, what does it look like? The entire market capitalization of the S&P 500 is $19 trillion. Meaning that if you had $20 trillion, you can own all 500 of the largest companies on our exchange and have $1 trillion left over. Okay, can't visualize that. How about this? All the gold production that we make have every year, every ounce of gold taken out of the ground every year, if you took that money to pay down our national debt, it'd take 155 years to pay it off. All the gold found every year. Okay? Does that give me this concept? How about this? If you took all the currency, all of it, all the dollars, yen, wons, took all the currency in the world right now, every penny, every nickel, dime, quarter, every currency, okay? If you took all that, put it in a pile, you'd have $5 trillion. Remember, our debt, $20 trillion. Okay, how about this? One more, I'll give you one more. If you took all the oil production worldwide, everything, every drop of oil, and you took that money that oil made, it'll take you 146 years to pay off the $20 trillion national debt. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that sad that we owe that much money? Our time is up for the hour. I want to remind you that I've got a couple of check updates coming up next week for Northern California, San Ramon, September 27th, and San Jose on the 28th. To schedule an hour with me, no matter where you live, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP, we want to thank you for listening today and join us next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.